Welcome to City on a Hill, where we believe, belong, become, and build. We are a loving and caring community located in Crab Orchard, West Virginia, led by Pastor Damon Davis. Whether you're listening for the first time or you're a regular part of our family, we are so glad that you're here. At City on a Hill, we believe in reaching out to everyone with the love of Christ. Make sure to visit us online at cityonahillwv.com for more info on how to get connected. Now, let's dive right into the message from today and grow together in Christ.
I'm reading a very familiar story, and I have actually preached this before, but man, God hit me with something on this that just, it wrecked me, okay? And I am hoping that God uses this for all of us, because we all need to see this way. And when God spoke this to me, I was so excited. Man, I've been excited about this for weeks. You know, a couple weeks ago, I was supposed to preach on that Wednesday, and I woke up Wednesday morning, I felt like this tickle in my chest and all this, and ended up going to bed with a fever about 6 o'clock Wednesday evening, and wanted to be here to preach that night, but Brother Sam had to cover me, and I thank God for Brother Sam. But man, I've had this word burning on me for a minute, but this only give me a chance to let it stew a little bit more. Because I'm here to tell you something. We serve an awesome God. Amen. We serve a God that is so awesome. And when we sing that song, it tears me all to pieces, because I know what God has done. Amen. Each one of us carry an awesome testimony, knowing that God brought us out of a place of darkness, that He gave us a solid rock to stand on. I'm not standing in sand. I'm standing on the Word of God, because I know who created us. Amen. He's worthy. And I'm going to go ahead and go to work so we can sit down for just a second. John or Mark chapter 5. Starting with verse number 25. Very familiar story. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood for 12 years. Think about that. An issue of blood for 12 years. And had suffered many things and of many physicians, and had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered, but rather she grew worse. And when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind him and touched his garment. For she said, "If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole." And straightway, not in a little bit of time, not in, you know, tomorrow, but straightway, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. That is awesome. And Jesus immediately knowing in himself, man, what a God, that virtue had gone out from him, turned him about in the press and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said unto him, "Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and thou sayest, who touched me?" And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace, and the whole of thy plague." And Lord, I thank you for this day, God. I thank you for your mercy, and I thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you for every person that has gathered here in this place, Lord. God, I thank you, Lord, that you have given us scripture to go by, Lord, as a roadmap of you, Lord, of a perfect picture of who you are, God. God, I'm asking you, Jesus, to anoint us today, Lord, to hear what you have to say to us in this hour, God. I'm asking you, Lord, to anoint my lips, Lord. Let me be your spokesman tonight, God. Just anoint me, Lord. Move me out of your way, Father, Lord, that you get the full glory of all this, Jesus. And I never want to fail to give you praise in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said amen. You know, the way this story starts out, the way that this story starts out is There was a man by the name of Jairus come to Jesus, and he said, "My daughter is laying sick and she's about to die." And Jesus was moving fast, moving on his way to go meet or to go lay hands on this on Jairus' daughter. And in the middle of all this, when I love painting these pictures in my mind how this actually went. And have you ever been in a crowd of people where it's shoulder to shoulder and everybody's just bumping into each other? Just it's madness, right? Shane and Brandon and I, we all went to this conference not too long ago, and there was like 6,000 some men there. And when you're walking down the hallway, and it don't matter how in line you try to walk, somebody's out of step. And you're always bumping into folks. You're just moving. You're trying to make your way through, and we're in a hurry trying to get out the door. I can only imagine how crowded this really was, and that Jairus was in a hurry to get Jesus to his daughter, as would I be. I would be the same way, man. My daughter's laying sick, and I know that this man Jesus, I've done heard of the miracles that he's able to perform. I know that if I get this man Jesus to my daughter, she's going to be whole. But in the middle of all this, and this chaos that's going on through Jairus' testimony, there was a woman, and the Bible says it, her name as a certain woman. And we all know her and her condition, which had an issue of blood. So we know her as the woman with the issue of blood. And there were several people that asked me today, like just different ones, because when I preach, I get excited about it. And I tell everybody, I don't care. I love being able to expound on my God. I do. I love it. And when I said, I'm preaching tonight, and they was like, what are you preaching on? I was like, Jesus. But listen, there's nothing else. Okay, there's nothing else. You can search the scripture from the front to the back. There's nothing else. You're going to find him. And his name is Jesus. Okay? His name is Jesus. And some of the ones that are like, oh man, I know that you're going to preach about Jesus. I already know you. I know you're going to preach. What are you really preaching about? Well, I'm preaching on the topic of the woman with the issue of blood. And everybody knows who this woman is. Because this woman had an issue. She had a serious issue, okay? And if you go back and look in the Levitical law, this woman was bleeding. And she was to declare herself unclean. Anytime she went out in public anywhere, she was to yell unclean. And nobody was able to touch her or they would be unclean. So this woman goes in the middle of this crowd, and this is an awesome testimony of faith to me, because man, this is the Bible says that faith moves God, right? Faith moves God, so don't forget that. But in the middle of this whole chaos of people, this woman thought within herself, because she had suffered for 12 long years. And the Bible says it like this, that she had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered. She had no hope. Everything that she had worked for, everything that she'd sought, every physician that she went to, there was no hope. It was all the same exact results. But she had heard of Jesus. She heard about this Jesus, about this man that just is able to do things that no man has ever done before. She heard about this Jesus that is giving sight to the blind. She's heard about this Jesus that when the lame touch him, they start to walk again. When she's heard about this man Jesus, that when spirits are around him, that he could cast them out and they throw themselves away. She heard about this Jesus that was making miracles happen. And out of her desperation, out of her walk where she has nothing else left, kill me if you have to. This is my last ditch effort to get better. I've got to touch him. I've got to make my way through this crowd and I have got to touch this Jesus. And it's worth me dying. She was willing to die to touch him because there was nothing else left. There was nothing else for her to do. There was no way for her to get out of this. And instantly, whenever she touches the hem of his garment, she felt in her body that she felt it dried up. She felt that, and man, that's so awesome. And I look at myself in this picture, in this place, and I know that I've been here. And we all, in some sense, can have a testimony similar to this. That I've been going through some things, that I've got some stuff going on in my life, and things just ain't lining up the way that they should be, and that I'm just having a hard time at work, I'm having a hard time at my household, I'm having a hard time just dealing with life in general. Things are busy. Then now I feel like I'm just trapped. I feel like I'm in this pit of darkness, a pit of despair, if you say. And I felt myself have been, I can relate to this. That's why I love this story so much. I can relate to this because I've seen myself in desperation, man. It's like one last ditch effort. I'm going to touch him. One more time, God, I just want to get in your presence. I want to touch you one time, God. I just want to reach out and touch him, and I know that I'm going to be whole. And we've all been there before, and we've all seen it like God's moved upon us. In the middle of the worst storm of my life, I watched God shake chains off of me. I felt the weight of this burden that I had on my life. I watched it fall off of me, and I become a new man in Christ. In the middle of a battle that you're going through where your mind can do nothing but think about what's in front of you, God is able to speak peace in the middle of that storm, and you can watch your life just open back up. So I can relate to this woman. I can relate to her as she goes out in desperation. Just like I said, she was not allowed to be out in public. It was against the law for her to be there, and she was willing to risk it all to die. She was willing to give it all up just to touch him because she knew she could be made whole. And that's faith. That is faith. That is an awesome kind of faith, right? And we all can agree that, man, we know that faith moves God because that's what the Word says, and I've seen faith in action. As you guys have seen faith in action, there's been times before when it looked so bleak. It looked like there was no way in the world I was getting out of this, but my God showed up exactly when I needed him to. And not only did he just show up, he showed up and showed off. He showed up and made it better than I ever could have imagined. That's what kind of God that we serve. So put yourself in this woman's position. You have spent all that you have. You have done everything that you know how to do. You know, and I know the pastor has said this before, and I have to agree that I'm exactly like this. I am not a book reader. I'm a book collector. I look at a cover of a book, and I'm like, man, I could read that. But you know where it's at? It's exactly where I left it when I bought it. Sitting on my nightstand, it's piled up on the dresser. There's books, all the like books. My wife loves to read. I can't read. I try to. And I want to say, oh, yeah, I'm going to get this book, and I'm going to read it. So self-help books don't help me. They don't. I can't read a book, so I could spend all of my money on books, and they're not going to help me. I could spend all of my time trying to chase down a man of God in my life and say, pray for me. I could spend all of my resources saying, hey, pastor, hey, Sam, hey, Dave, hey, Brandon, hey, guys, I need prayer. I could spend all of my resources, all of my strength saying, hey, guys, I need you. I need to lock arms with my brothers. I need you. I'm weak. I could spend all of my resources, all of my time digging for things to make myself better. I can judge my life compared to yours. The Bible says that when we compare ourselves amongst ourselves, we're not wise. But who said that I was wise? Because I look at the pastor's life, oh, he's got it all together. He gets up here and preaches every Sunday and every Wednesday, and he like nothing ever phases him. But guess what? He's just as human as I am. He goes through things just the same as we all do. But I could spend all of my time, all of my resources and all this. But it's only when I get super desperate. It's only when I get desperate that I decide, hey, I remember one time that I got in this place and I remember that I touched God. And I want to get back to that place. I need to get back to that place where I touched him one time. Because I know that once I get in the presence of God, I know that once I get there, that I can be made whole. And the Bible says that straightway, as soon as she touched him, she felt the virtue. He felt the virtue. And I would be one of the smart aleck disciples. I would be that guy. I would be that man that was said, when Jesus said, who touched me? I would have looked around and said, are you serious right now? Because think about it, man. When you're bumping shoulders with people, I don't know who just touched me. I don't know, but there was something different about this touch. There was faith involved with this touch. There was virtue involved with this touch. So Jesus knew that somebody touched him different than anybody else.
He knew that somebody touched him out of pure desperation. He knew that somebody touched him in the very bottom of his garment. He was able to feel that because faith moves God. So I have found myself in this place that I know that if I just get close to God, if I just get a little close to Him, if I just get in His presence, oh man, I can't wait till Sunday till I get to church. I can't wait till I get in the presence with all of my friends and all of my family and we can worship together. I can't wait till I get to church on Wednesday and I hope that Aaron sings this song so I can get in the presence of God. We've all played this same song before. We've all played this same exact scenario. But man, this is where God smacked me in the mouth. And if you have found yourself in this place, guess what? God's smacking you in the mouth too. Because this woman did not have a Bible that we do. This woman was pre-crucifixion. She was before our God ever gave His life for us. She was before any of the scripture was ever written that was able to say things like 1 Peter 5 and 7 that says, casting all of your care upon Him, for He careth for you. She did not hear those scriptures before. She did not hear scripture like Romans 8 and 1 that there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus who walk after the flesh, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. She had never heard those words. She had never heard things like Hebrews 4 and 14. It says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that has been passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have a high priest that is that which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, just like we are, yet without sin. So I'm here to tell you something. If you can find yourself relating to the woman with the issue of blood, it's a great story of faith, and I'm not discounting this story of faith at all. And I'm not saying that when we do this, we've done wrong, but I'm saying this, that we don't have to wait until we're desperate. We don't have to wait until we spend every dime that we've got on help. We don't have to wait until somebody comes by me to lay their hands on me. We're able to just call upon the name of Jesus. We're able to call upon Him right now, and He's able to move. You know, there's a scripture that she probably did hear that I hold dear to my heart is Isaiah 26 and 3. And it says it like this, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. And we just sung a song about trusting God. Now, when you're faced with pure adversity in your life, it's really, really hard to trust God. It really does. It tests your faith with everything in your being. And if you're not careful, you will find yourself giving in to the little things, the little tiny foxes, as Solomon says, it's the small foxes that spoil the vine. If you're not careful, you'll give in to these little tiny thoughts that start gnawing away at your soul. They start galling at you to where you get to the point where it's hard to pray. Anybody ever been there? You get to the point where sometimes it gets hard to raise your hand and worship because you don't feel worthy, and you've let the devil ride your back and tell you that you're not worthy. It gets easy sometimes to let the devil in and start creeping these thoughts, thinking that somebody has got an odd against you because they turned the other way when they seen you. And the truth of the matter is they really didn't see you. They needed glasses and they didn't have them on. You don't know the whole story. But we make these imaginations up in our mind. We start making these things up in our mind, and we just then before it's all said and done, we're a mess. We get to a place of desperation where we're like, it's either you touch me, God, or I'm dying. It's either you take this away or I'm dying. I'm done. I can't do nothing else. Same as the woman with the issue of blood, but we do not have to get there. We don't ever have to be in that position. We have got a God that said, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you, that I will go with you all the way, even unto the end. I've got a God that is way, way, way more faithful than I've ever been. He has always been beside of me the whole time. He's never let us down. He's never failed us. We fail ourselves, and we fail to give Him the reverence that He needs. It's on us. It's not on Him. I don't have to get to the place of desperation where I have to spend all of my resources and all of my strength to touch Him. I just got to touch Him. I just got to touch Him. And sometimes, man, this is awesome. Sometimes you can be driving down the road in your car and you hear a song that says, "Oh, how great thou art." And your hand can't help but go up and the tears start coming to your eyes because you know who God is to you. You know that this is the same God that set you free years ago. This is the same God that delivered you out of every single situation. That there's nothing that's too hard for Him. I love that song that what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And if I say it and mean that, that whenever that slimy old Satan comes up and starts putting all this condemnation on me, I can say, hey, guess what? That sin was judged on Calvary. And as long as my sins are in the blood, you can't touch me, devil. You can't touch what God has anointed. Whenever He meets us, when He meets us in a place, man, and we can all testify to this. I know there has been certain times that God has touched me in a certain place, and I almost can remember the minute that it happened. It's an event that happened in my life that I can hold it at the highest regard because I don't want to forget it. And I try to remake that moment sometimes. I have been in the place where I'm like, man, I remember that one time I got this song and I was playing and I was walking, I was doing this. And I try to be in that same exact frame of mind. This ain't about having some formula altogether. There ain't nothing about this. There ain't nothing about this God that you got to have certain chants built up. Or you got to have certain things in a certain order. And you got to have it all laid out in a certain way. No, all you got to do is call upon His name. Ask Peter when he stepped out of the boat, when he took his eyes off of Jesus. What did he do? He cried, "Jesus, save me." And guess what happened? You hear about Peter later on. He didn't drown in the water. No, Jesus reached down and He grabbed him and He pulled him back up. That's exactly how Jesus works with us. No different. There's no difference. Our God is a good God and He's faithful. He's been faithful time and time again. And listen, I don't ever want to discount, in no way at all, I don't want to discount going through a trial or troubles or nothing, because I think sometimes we need those things to grow. We need certain things to happen to us so we can just understand how really awesome God is. Because man, if you go through this life easy peasy, lemon breezy, whatever, however you want to say it, if you go through this life with no kind of resistance whatsoever, you're swimming in the wrong direction. Because this is a fight. There is a fight to this. But you know what the best part about this fight is? I don't have to do the fighting. I've got a God that will fight for me. He will take step for step with me. He will go with me every single step of the way. One of my favorite scriptures that I know that this poor lady with the issue of blood never heard. And I quote this sometimes because I just know how powerful and how awesome this is. Ephesians 3:20, now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Now tell me the church don't have power. Tell me that what God bestowed upon me, that when He said this, He said that these signs shall follow them that believe. That I believe that when I lay hands on somebody, that I can see results from it, because I know that my God is working through me. He's able, amen. And I don't want to, man, we've been on this, the church is moving in this direction that we don't want to forget who we are. You don't want to forget who you are. You got to understand that you are a child of God, and don't forget that. Do not forget, you don't discount that, don't take that lightly. Because it's easy on our end of it, because love to us sometimes is conditional. My wife can buy me a gift and I'll love her more. I could buy her a gift and she'd love me more. I could do something for her and it would make her appreciate me more. I could do these things, and love is conditional driven sometimes. Right? But guess what? My kids. Man, I love my kids. They're a gift from God to me. They're my children, and I love them. It's not really conditional with that. My kids, I love them with an unconditional love. I mean, if they'd have come out ugly, I'd have loved them. I'd have called them precious. But my kids come out, they're my kids, and I love them. I love them unconditionally. So do you think God loves us conditional? Do you think it's condition driven? No. We don't get what we deserve. But I'm telling you right now, we don't walk in what He gave us. We don't get what we deserve, but we definitely don't walk in what He gave us. Because there's times when I know that I need to be walking with my head up. And I walk with my head down because I forget who I am. But there's times when you got to just square your shoulders back, set your face like a flint, and look at the devil and say, I'm a child of God. Go walk on somebody else's back. You're not walking on mine because I'm set free. Don't forget who you are. Don't you dare forget who you are, because you are a child of God. You're a child of the King. You're adopted. Galatians 4, 4 through 7 says this, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. If you go back and you read about what Jesus did on this earth while He walked here, man, He does some awesome stuff. But if you look at how He said when the disciples come to Him and said, Lord, teach us to pray. In your red letters in your Bible, it says like this, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, where? On earth, where? As it is in heaven. We don't walk where we're supposed to walk. We don't walk in the same direction or in the same authority that He gives us. We drop our heads sometimes and forget that God really did call us out. He really did call us to set in heavenly places. He really did give us strength over to overcome the wicked one. He gave it. Already He fought the battle for us. All we got to do is yield to Him. Musicians, you can come. All we got to do is yield. All we got to do is just give up. Do you remember the song? There used to be a song that was saying, give up and let Jesus take over. You know how hard that is for a hard-headed man? All you dudes, you could say amen. Because it's hard. You know, I'm telling you, it might be pride. And if it's pride, God will help me through this. But I will not call a man to work on my vehicle. I might now that I'm older because I'm tired of working on stuff. Rephrase that. Yeah, when I was a young man, and I loved turning wrenches, I wouldn't call a man to work on my vehicle. I'm not calling a man to work on my house. I ain't doing it. Because I'm a man, I want to do things with my own hands. I want to work on something, and I know I can fix it if I get my hands on it. If I get my hands on this. But I got to stop being such a man when it comes to my spiritual walk. Because in this walk right here, it's not for me to fix. It's already fixed. It's already been laid out before me. It's already in His hands. He's already done all the heavy lifting. All I got to do is yield to Him. It ain't about what I can do with my own strength and my own hands, because guess what? I'm going to heaven by the blood of Jesus. Nothing else. I'm not going to heaven by what I did. I'm not going to heaven about what I'm going to do. I'm going to heaven by what Jesus did. And that's my ticket home. And I want to give Him grace. I want to give Him reverence for that. I don't want to put it so much in myself and what I got to do. Now, don't get me wrong. Sanctification is important. We got to have a relationship with Him. But man, the blood of Jesus is what's taking me to heaven. That's what's getting me home. That's what's getting us all home. I've said it like this, and I stand by it, and I don't care. The blood of Jesus, if it doesn't get me to heaven, you won't see me. You will not see me if the blood of Jesus wasn't enough, because I'm telling you, I won't be there. Because the blood of Jesus was exactly enough. It was perfect. It was exactly enough. So this and this alone, I want you to get it. I want you to get this in your spirit. That this and this alone. Now, don't discount the woman with the issue of blood story, because it's a great story of faith, and you've got stories of faith where God moved on your life. But don't get yourself so desperate that you're willing to give up all to touch Him. You don't have to be there. No child of God is made to slither on their belly to the altar. He said it just like this: let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy. When? In this time of need. That's the times, when I need Him, that's the times when I don't want to go. That's the times when I don't feel worthy to go. I listen to the devil in the back of my mind saying, you're not worthy. You messed up. You call yourself a man of God. But guess, He said, come boldly. Come boldly to the throne of grace that you may obtain mercy in this time of need. So that's exactly the time that you need to go to Him, when you don't feel like you need to go. That's when you definitely need to go. We got a God that we could call upon right now. He's not far off. He's not taking a nap, and He's never on vacation. He's always present. He is always nigh to us. All we got to do is call upon His name. So don't ever let yourself get so desperate that you're willing to just let it all go and sell out everything that you got just to touch Him, when you could touch Him right now with your hands. Right now, you just reach out and touch Him, because He's right here. He's saying, hey, just that simple. It's that simple. So as they sing this song, that is my challenge to all of us. That if you're in a place that you compare yourself or have seen yourself in this prison, that you feel that there's no other way out, that you're desperate, you want to touch Him, I'm asking you to touch Him. I'm asking you to reach out and touch Him. And if you need to pray at the altars are always open. If you need to come up and pray, we've got plenty that will lay hands on you and pray with you. Because we believe that we're able to impart the work of God through us. We believe that. I believe that whenever God said to lay hands on the sick and they recover, I believe that. I believe that with everything in me. I believe that whenever you're able to lay your hands on somebody that's covered in chains, that God is the chain breaker. I believe that. So as they sing this song, if you have got to pray, by all means, do not let anybody stop you from praying. There's nobody going to be looking at you. Nobody going to be making fun of you. Nobody's going to be questioning, why is she at the altar? Why is he at the altar? There's nobody questioning that. Our pastor has taught us this for years. This is not a place of shame. This is a place of power. This is a place where you can meet Him. This is a place where heaven can touch earth. All we got to do is just call out His name.